Finishing our series on God's Gospel, Part 5, Neighbor Faith. Well, where have we been in this series so far? Let's do a quick review. First of all, we talked about fearful faith. Faith, that's fear that stops our obedience to God, is fear that makes us forget we are saved. Remember that sermon? Forget we're saved. Can you forget you're saved? When fear takes over, you can, because you act like you've forgotten that you're saved. Why do I say that? Saved Christians are unstoppable. And when fear stops us, it's like, man, I've forgotten that I've saved. And we act like that. Fear comes in, fearful faith. The second message was on confident faith. We need a strong confidence in our salvation if we're to overcome our fear of disappointing God. Our fears are based on a lack of truly knowing we are saved. How many Christians do you think out there, if we did a survey, aren't sure they're going to make it to heaven? It's a pretty good percentage. Christians who don't know that they're actually going to heaven. They don't know if that's a secure thing for them. We need to have a confident faith. Truly know we're saved. In Christ's death and resurrection, we have a complete confidence, a confident expectation. I just gave you the definition of the biblical word hope. Confident expectation that when God returns, when Christ returns, I will go home with him. That's a confident expectation I have. It's not a demand, but it is an expectation. Where do I get the expectation? God gives it to me. He says that's what's going to happen. I can expect that because God keeps his promises. Third message was following faith. Because we are confident in our salvation, we are not afraid to pick up our cross daily and follow Christ. Our faith matures as we obey Christ regardless of the cost. When you push through fear and discover Jesus was already there to help you do what you were going to do, and you walk away from that moment going, whoa, I just met Jesus in a powerful way, and it was because I chose to push through fear and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I'm going to change that word to confident. Confident in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Yeah. Confident, following faith. The fourth message was friendship faith. As we obey Christ more, the more excited we become in sharing our hope in Christ. Why is that true? Well, it's true because we're experiencing the real life results of obedience and seeing firsthand how your obedience is reaching into people's lives and taking back hearts from Satan. When you experience that, there's nothing better. There is nothing better. Today, in our final message in this series, we're going to talk about neighbor faith. Neighbor faith from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. I'm reading from the NIV. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus said. Do this, and you'll live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well then, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. So they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these 3 men do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? Jesus asked. The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Because of time constraints today, I'm going to reserve the rest of the story about this passage for a few weeks down the road. Next Sunday, the 16th, I've reserved for celebration. Let's celebrate what God does next Saturday, shall we? Let's celebrate that. Let's share the stories of you giving invitations. Even if the invitation was turned down, you gave an invitation. That's growth. That's maturing. That's pushing through fear. So next Sunday, we're going to celebrate that time together. And so today, I'm going to just give you a snippet of this passage. Let's focus on the lawyer's last question to Jesus. He asked, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" The lawyer was looking for a way to shrink the list of those who qualified as his neighbor. Now, I've included in your sermon outline, everybody take that out of your bulletin. Take out your sermon outline. I've included in your sermon outline a chart. On the left column, I want you to write a few words that describe the people you like to be with. Describe the people you like to be with, you like to spend time with. Okay? You could use words like fun, talkative, rich. you could say they're caring. Okay? Put in some descriptive words that describe people you like to be with. Your preferred people list. On the right-hand column now, write a few words that describe the people you are uncomfortable with being you on your neighbor list. The avoid people list. We can relate to the lawyer because whenever we ask, "Who is my neighbor?" inside that question itself is another question. Who is not my neighbor? In his mind, the lawyer already had his preferred people list and the avoid people list too. He's looking for a way to make his religion fit his comfort zone. Did you hear that? The lawyer's looking for a way to make his religion fit his comfort zone. I believe that Christianity in America and in the United States today is where it is because of that very reason. Christians want to make their religion fit their comfort zone. So who is on your preferred people list? Who's on your avoid people list? Notice this. Jesus' answer to the lawyer's question is classic. Now he asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answers the question by not answering the question. Instead, he tells the story of the Good Samaritan that we just read in Luke 10. When he is done telling the story, Jesus puts his own question to the lawyer. Which three of these 3 men do you think was the neighbor to the injured man? Have you ever noticed that if you are asked to answer one of Jesus' questions, and if you answer it honestly, your answer will make you accountable to do what's right in God's eyes? If you answer honestly. The lawyer asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Through telling the story, Jesus ultimately asked this question back to the lawyer. To whom will you be a good neighbor? Look at your chart again on the other side of your outline. Who will you be? To whom will you be a good neighbor? This time, as you look at your chart, the second chart, we're not asking who is my neighbor, but we are asking who will I be a good neighbor to? Does this question change your heart as you look at both lists? Who will I be a good neighbor to? I don't know if you've heard the news, but my neighbor, Faye Lambert, passed away Thursday. She had cancer. Her kidneys shut down. Tanya and Travis are now without mom. Grandma passed away several months back. Am I going to be a good neighbor? If you knew the family, are you going to be a good neighbor to them as they grieve the loss of their mother and their grandmother? By the way, the funeral service is today, 12:30, over at Adams Community Church. So it's kind of a fast deal. If you can go and support the family, that'd be a great thing. So this is a test to see if you are a fan or a follower of Jesus. If your heart doesn't change for the people on your avoid people list, as Jesus asks you, who will you be a good neighbor to, then you're probably a fan. Yay, Jesus! We love you so much. It's so fun to come here to church and praise your name and all that stuff. I love being here with my family. This is good. Praise Jesus. And then we go home and Jesus challenges us and we go, I want to be comfortable, Jesus. Who will I be a good neighbor to? If you find yourself willing to connect with people on your avoid people list, then I'd say you're probably a follower. I'm willing to do what's uncomfortable, what I don't like. It's not about me. The kingdom of God is not my kingdom, it's his. I belong to it, but it's about him. It's about Jesus. Say that with me. It's about Jesus. Not about me. Oh, I get my needs met and I get lots of good perks because I belong to the kingdom, but the kingdom's not about me. Well, the lawyer knew he'd been had when Jesus asked him that question, who are you going to be a good neighbor to? If he answers any other way than to say that the Samaritan was the good neighbor, he knows he's avoiding the truth. On the other hand, if he answers that the Samaritan was the good neighbor, then the lawyer knows Jesus will tell him to love others the same way the Samaritan loved the injured man. By the way, the injured man was probably a Jew, and the Samaritans up north of Judea, and the Jews in the south didn't get along together. They didn't like each other very well. And yet here's this Samaritan ministering to a Jewish man. So this is the question Jesus is asking you and me right now as we prepare to invite people to hear an inspiring message from Louis Palau. Are you the kind of neighbor you would want your neighbor to be to you? If your neighbor has great news about how you could be free from fear and guilt, would you want that neighbor to push through his or her fear of approaching you to tell you about that good news? That there's hope in this dark, dark, crazy world we live in? Are you the kind of neighbor you would like your neighbor to be to you? Jesus closed his message to the lawyer with this command. Jesus' commands are simple. They don't take pages and pages. He just said, go and do likewise. I love what Steve Bailey said one time. I think it was in the last prayer and fast. Jesus gave Steve four words, the first one being, go. Does that strike excitement in you? Maybe a little trepidation? Go where? We start trying to qualify. Do I have to go there? Maybe I'll go over here. Jesus said, go. Means us keep our eyes on God. Wherever he's working, that's an invitation to join him. I love that. Go and do likewise, Jesus said to the lawyer, and that he is saying to you and me today. Worship team, come on up. Let's respond to God today. Let's respond to God today. Introduce yourself to your neighbors. Invite them to Saturday's events. It's that simple. Jesus said it in one word, go. Go. Everybody say that with me. Go. Yeah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you.